Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If a student who did well in school is interviewed and he does not thank his parents and his teachers for helping him, what would you call such a student? If a son grows up to be an adult and he has become pretty successful, and he considers his parents as a burden to be cast aside, as like an unwanted, used-up teabag, what would you call such a son? Ungrateful, isn't it? These are people who have enjoyed the help, the graces and the mercies of many in his life. And he just simply forget all about them and ignore them. Remember, the name of the Lord is the topic for this morning, as we celebrate 33 years of the birth of this church, a church that the Lord has raised and sustained and founded, a church where it is the Lord whom we must remember. Yes, the Lord may have used many men, many women, many young people, many children in our lives to bless us, to encourage our hearts. But ultimately, it is the Lord. As Psalm 20 reminds us, a psalm of David. David liked to share with us this morning of how we need to remember. Remember the one who has given us life. Remember the one who has given us everything in this life. When you and I look at your life and my life, it is a story that can be told, isn't it? All of us has a story to tell someone, except perhaps for infants who just came into this world. The pages of their life have not begun to be written. But for all of us, it's a matter of how many pages, how long. But we all have many people to remember for, many people who have touched our hearts, many people who have touched our lives, shaped us, molded us. But ultimately, it is God Almighty. And King David would like to share with us three reasons why we need to remember the Lord. Not just the Lord, but in particular, as you can see from this short psalm, only 9 verses, the name of the Lord. In verse 1, it is the name of God that is mentioned. In verse 5, it is the name of our God that is mentioned. But in verse 7, it is the name of the Lord, our God, that is mentioned. Why can't David just simply say, God? Why must he single out the name of God, or the name of the Lord, for emphasis? The name, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ. It's not just a name of anyone, but the name of God himself, none other than Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Why must the name be important? The name is important because it signifies intimacy. It signifies a personal, intimate relationship with God, not just God, because everyone can cry to God, but the name of God is none other than Jesus Christ. And God has told us that no man can come to him except through Christ, Jesus our Lord. And that is why the name of the Lord is emphasized, is highlighted in this psalm. It's not just any God, but the name of God himself, to tell us that you need to have a personal relationship with him. Crying to God for help in times of calamity is not good enough. You must know who this God that you are crying out to. And for us as God's children, we know that the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And we are encouraged this morning to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. In what form and in what way? From verse 1 to verse 3, remember him for his protection. The Lord hear me in the day of trouble. The word trouble there means distress. In times of great calamity. The word hear there is not the usual word where we find in the Bible where it is in Hebrew called Shama. But it is a word where it speaks of God has already heard and he has already answered. That's the meaning of the word here that is used here. And the covenantal name that is used here, the Lord, speaks of a relationship that is personal. God wants to have a personal relationship with every one of us. He wants to know you and he wants you to know him. And that is the purpose and significance of the baptismal service, the reaffirmation service, the transfer of membership, as well as infant baptism. All these speaks of a personal relationship where we say we know God because God has helped us. God has intervened in my life. Many of us did not know him once upon a time, although he had been working, shaping and molding us without our knowledge, without our understanding that he has been doing all these in our childhood. In the way that he used our parents, in the way that he used friends, even our enemies, even the trials and the difficulties in our lives, God has been there for us. And then one day, we met him face to face. Someone shared with us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man through the Virgin Mary. Where he was born perfect. And he lived a life of perfection, obeying all of God's law on our behalf. And then finally, like a lamb led to the slaughter, even though with the power of God at his disposal, he did not lift up a finger to defend himself, because he wanted to go to the cross for your sins and for my sins. And he did that. He did that and he cried on the cross, "It is finished." His work of salvation for mankind is finally completed. And God accepted what Christ has done because on the third day after Christ died, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead for our justification, to tell us that if you were to believe in the Son, my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as someone who has died on the cross for your sins, you too would have all your sins cleansed and forgiven. You too do not need to experience death or be afraid of death. You will be resurrected. This is the personal relationship that God says, I want to have with all of you. And David had this experience, and that's why he testified, the Lord answered thee in the day of trouble. He is talking about himself, but he's addressing us. That's why he uses second person. The Lord answered thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the God of Jacob. Why did he use the God of Jacob? That's the old name for Israel. Jacob means usurper. Jacob was the old name before Jacob was converted, after which God gave him the new name Israel. That is to tell us that I have always been your God, Jacob. Even when you did not know me, I have always been there for you, guiding you, shaping you, molding you. And that's the experience and testimony of many of us. When we were unbelievers, only after we became believers, and then we look back into our own lives, we look back into our childhood, we look back into the days when we had all those experiences, how God had been there for us, even though we did not know him. And that's why God deliberately called himself the God of Jacob. I had been the God of Jacob, even Jacob acknowledged me as his God. And God had been defending him, watching over him. He may have been trying his best to do things his way, as Jacob did. He was a usurper, he was a cunning young man, until God broke his self-confidence, until he wrestled with God, and until God crippled him, and God broke him of all his pride and arrogance. And then finally Jacob realized that it had always been God. It had been God who had given him a life. It had been God who had given him strength. It had been God who had given him the mind, to the ability to generate wealth. It had been God all the time. It had never been myself. You and I know how frail and fragile we are. All God needed to do is to burst one tiny little blood vessel in our brain, and we would be rendered helpless in hospital with all kinds of tubes sticking through our body, isn't it? And then when we think that we have arrived, we have become a small little somebody, and we think in our own eyes we have become a big somebody, a big capital S. And then we walk around as if we are like peacocks, flaring out a multicolor feathers, telling the world that I am somebody, when in reality it is and it will always be the name of the God of Jacob. God Himself, who had been there to help us, to hear us, to answer us in our day of distress and trouble. And all of us have gone through some form of distresses, without exception. It's a matter of degree, isn't it? All of us. You and I know life is a struggle. We all have gone through trials and difficulties from our young days. Our children are going through difficulties through the exams, isn't it? That's why they're called exam. The sound of it sounds scary. Exam. How can you change to another word? Test. Also scary, isn't it? Right from the very beginning, our children have been stressed out. And then when you grow up and you are older, you have more duties, responsibilities, you have more things to worry about, to be afraid of. And there are so many things in your life that you cannot control. You can read it in the testimonies of those who stood before you this morning for baptism, for transfer, and for reaffirmation of faith. They have a story to tell of the trials and difficulties in their lives and that God sent in their life to cause them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And David tells us the same thing. He shared with us the same thing. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. That's how God did it. God heard and God sent help from His holy place. From the tabernacle in the time of David, before the temple was built in the time of Solomon. They had a tabernacle that God designed and God gave it to them, where God said, out of all the nations on planet earth, I will be in the midst of Israel. And when Israel approached God through the sacrificial system that God has revealed to them and given to them and blessed them with, they were a living testimony of the grace and the mercies of God in their lives. And when they live holy lives, when they cry out to God, God says, I have sent help from my sanctuary. And verse 3 confirms that when the Bible says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. When the people approach God, they know they cannot just approach God on their own. Because everything that man touch is stained by man's sin. So before they could even approach God, they have to bring all kinds of offerings. There were the sin offering for the purification. There were the burnt offerings for the atonement of sins. And then there will be the peace offerings now that they have their sins atoned. And then after they have peace with God, they offer a thanks offering. And all these offerings are sequentially offered on a day-to-day basis whenever the people approach God. When the people come before God, they know that there must be the shedding of blood before there can be the remission of sin. And as their sins have been cleansed, they can approach God and they cry to God for help. God says, I have sent help, I have answered you, and you all know it. David understood it, David appreciated it, and David penned this psalm as a reflection on behalf of all believers throughout the ages. For this is his experience, and he says that this should be our experience too, as God's children. Is this your experience? God's protection over your life. And for some of us, you may not be believers. You may not even have heard of Christ, or you may have heard of Christ, but you reject Christ for whatever reason. You know that you are not where you are by your own wits, by your own strength. You owe so much to so many people in your life, but ultimately, you owe everything to God. You know that. The question is, will you acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? For He had been your protector all the days of your life. You think you are here on this earth by chance? Regardless of how old you are, believer or otherwise, you and I are not here by chance. You and I are here by the sovereign will of God, believers and unbelievers alike. That's why God says, the God of Jacob. That's why David said, the God of Jacob, because he understood. All of us who are children of God, we also understand. When you think back, when you remember, when you recall all those times, it had been the Lord who has watched over us and protected us. And then on that particular day, God saved us unto Himself. It's as if God was telling us, you are invincible until you accept me as Lord and as Savior. I will protect you and I will keep you until that appointment, that wonderful day when I will send someone into your life and give you the gospel message, and then you become a child of God. I have protected you and I will continue to protect you. Now that you are my son, now that you are my daughter, I am your heavenly Father, and I will continue to protect you all the days of your life, even after you die, even into eternity. That's why for God's people, we have so much to remember God for in terms of His protection. Your going out and your coming in every day from your home, don't take it for granted. You go overseas on whatever reason, whether it is on vacation or study or business, don't take it for granted. Every day, at the end or close of a day, you can lie down on your bed and sleep. You should thank God for His protection and His provision. Because He had heard the cry of God's children in your life. God has heard and He has answered from His holy sanctuary. And when the people brought their sacrifices, God accepted them, God heard them, and God helped them. Think back, recall how God had watched over you and protected you all these years. This church had been protected by God for the past 33 years. Enemies from outside, enemies from within. We all have a story to tell. So has this church. The problems, the trials, the difficulties, will they ever cease? They will never cease as long as Satan remains on this earth. As long as there are many sinners who need to know the Savior, as long as we are called of God to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, we continue to need God's protection. We will always need Him to protect us and to watch over us. Second reason why we need to remember the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, we need to remember Christ, is found in verse 4 and verse 5, where the name of our God is also mentioned. Please note the slight twist and difference. The name of the God of Jacob in verse 1, and then in verse 5, you know how David introduced the first person plural pronoun, where he says, in the name of our God, David's God and my God. From the God of Jacob, he now turned it into someone that is very personal. So verse 4 and verse 5, the reason is God's holy will in your life. To live an obedient life according to Holy Scriptures is one of the greatest blessings, the joy and the peace that you have in your heart, knowing that this life is not a life that is aimlessly lived. This life is not going to end by just me dying and breathing my last breath. This life has been born again by the grace and the mercies of God. And to know what God has intended you for, to create you on this earth to do His will. You know how happy and how peaceful and how wonderful it is to know this, that you have been created and put onto this earth for a purpose and design by your Heavenly Father, and that He will give you all the strength for you to succeed. And that's what David's experience. We will rejoice. Sorry, verse 4. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. He was crying to God, asking God to accomplish God's will in his life. That's what it means. Fulfill all thy counsel. Whatever you want to do in me, O Lord, please accomplish it. That was David's desire. And I hope this is our desire too, as God's children. Because we have been redeemed with Christ's precious blood. This life is no more our own to live. In the past, we wanted things our way. We thought that to have all the money in the world equals success. We thought that if I were to be able to live in big houses and drive fanciful cars, I have arrived. This was our ambition, or at least it was my ambition. I'm not sure about yours. When I was an unbeliever, studying at the university, that was the goal, that was the aim, that was the motivation. And then the moment you are born again, something just changed inside you, whereby all these vain, empty ambitions just simply disappear. And all you wanted to do is, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? That's why I prayed the prayer when I graduated. Lord, if you want me to go full time, please let me work for 3 years so that I can support my younger brother just as my older brothers and sisters supported me through my university. I had a younger brother then who was still studying engineering. My ambition of wanting money and all these awful worldly carnal things that will continue to fuel the pride of man, money, power, position, fame, fortune, all these slowly dissipated, disappeared. And all you want to do is, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And true enough, 2.5 years, 2 years later, the Lord reminded me of my prayer, of my promise. And then he called me into full-time ministry. 3.5 years I worked, and then entered into the full-time ministry by the grace and the mercies of God. And then slowly God will unfold and reveal to you what his will is for your life. And once you know it, you become the happiest, most peaceful person in your own heart that the world can never give. To know in your heart of hearts that you have been born to this world. You have been directed and guided by God since the day you were born. And then the Lord has protected you. And then the Lord has guided you, shaped you, and molded you in the direction whereby your life is to do his will. And once that will is done and is finished, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. Death to us as children of God is nothing to be afraid of. It is going home. Are you afraid of going home? I don't like to travel. Every time before I travel, I feel homesick already. I do not know why. I just don't like to travel. I just like to stay home. My family is there. My bed is, everybody is home. I just don't like to travel. I'm not the traveling kind. I like to come home. By God's grace, we are leaving this evening to Sydney because of the camp there, and also to minister the word of God to the brethren in Sydney BP Church. A group of us, myself, my wife, and some church members will be helping out in the children's ministry. I'm homesick already because my children are home. Same thing when I had to go to Nairobi last year, November. Homesick even before I went. And the moment I start going, the moment I arrive, I count the number of days I can come home. You'd like to come home? Because home is safe, happy, peaceful. I'd like to come home. But the Bible says, your home is in heaven. Your home is in heaven. But while you are on earth, it is a place where you serve. It is a place where you accomplish the will of God in your life, because in eternity, because every child of God, every one of us, in fact, not just the child of God, every one of us, the moment you begin to exist, you now become an eternal being. You don't disappear when you die. When you die in your sin, either you go to heaven or you go to hell. There are no third alternative. If you die in your sin without the Savior, you will be punished in hell. Because God is holy, God is just, God is righteous. But if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, because he has cleansed you of all your sins because of God's love for your life, and he doesn't have to do it, but he did it, and your sins are now cleansed and forgiven by the blood of Christ, when you die, it simply means your service unto the Lord is now over. You are now ready to come home. That's the life of a child of God. That's what it means in view of God's holy will. In your life, you and I must remember the name of the Lord. We have so much to thank God for. And so David says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. That's the beginning, isn't it? Not just the salvation from our sin, but many, many other kinds of salvation in our lives. And in the time of our God, we will set up our, in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Now, the phrase set up our banners is one word. It simply means, like in the battlefield, you raise up all those banners to tell your own army and tell the enemy that this is the one that we are fighting in the name of. That's the meaning. We now come in the name of our God. We must not fail the Lord. Now please understand that victory from God's perspective in the lives of the believer is not measured in terms of dollars and cents, brick, stones, and mortar. You can lose your life. You can lose your property, you can lose all the money in the bank account, you can even lose your family, but as long as you hold on to the faith, that's what salvation is. That's what victory is in the eyes of God. You'll find this in the book of Revelation, when the saints in the days of the great tribulation refused to bow down to the statue of the Antichrist, refused to have the name of the mark of the beast on them before they could buy and sell. So many believers had to starve to death or be hunted down like wild animals. And they died. And the Bible said the Lord used the word victory to describe them because they held on to their faith even unto death. That's what salvation means. Remember, our life on earth is a life of service. Service unto the Lord, and sometimes the service unto the Lord may require us to stare death in the face, as what many of the saints of old have to endure, including the apostles, including the prophets. William Tyndale translated the Bible into the English language for his countrymen, and for that they strangled him and burned him at the stake. Was he victorious? Did the Lord protect him? Did the Lord save him? Yes. Because he held on to the faith, he held on to the will of God, and he never flinched. He knew they were hunting him down like a fugitive. He had to leave England to run to Europe to hide to translate the word of God. Because God's will for William Tyndale was to translate the word of God. And he did it, not all of it, but he did all the New Testament, some books of the Old Testament, but he did it. That was his will from God for his life. And the Lord saved him because he held on to his faith even to the very end. Please do not think that salvation means you will be Superman. It means that bullets shoot at you, ding, will fall down. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that you will hold on to the faith, come what may, as God's children. And then you will set up our banners to tell the world that we come only in the name of our God, that is Jesus Christ. And that is the one that we are going to promote, not ourselves. We can be forgotten. Your name and my name can be forgotten, but remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever people think of you after you are gone, if they remember Jesus Christ, you have lived and served the Lord well. You and I are not here to build monuments for ourselves. You and I are now here to promote Jesus Christ, because people do not go to heaven by believing in your name. People go to heaven by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why remember the name of the Lord, so that when we leave this world, by the grace and the mercies of God, they don't remember us. That's fine. That is good. They must remember the name of the Lord. Not your name, not my name. Our names are not important. But the name of the Lord is important. And it is the name above all names that men must believe in order to be saved, in order to have their sins forgiven, in order to find a deliverance from the bondage of sin that had plagued mankind all their earthly years. And God says, remember the Lord because of his will in your life. And the Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. The word petitions there means desire. The Lord will fulfill, which means make full, make into reality what your heart desires. And if you desire the will of God in your life, or the will of God to be accomplished in your life, why will God not want to do it? God will surely want to do it. You cry to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation right now, and this is God's way and God's will, and God will do it for you. All you need to do is to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, from your heart, unconditionally. And all your sins that you have committed in the past, doesn't matter what kind of sins, no matter how many sins you have committed against God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away all your sins. That's God's promise. And you will be saved to the uttermost. And you will now be bound for heaven instead of hell. That is the love of God. And that's why God says, don't forget what I have done in your life. Why do you think God gave us the Lord's Supper? And he told us to keep it as oft as we can in remembrance of him. In our church, we keep it once a month. And that is just nice. Once a month. So that you and I will not turn it into a ritual. so that you and I will never forget the Lord once a month, not only for practical reasons and purposes, because sometimes when we do it too regularly, too frequently, it becomes a ritual when you and I just go through the motion without proper remembrance. And the Lord wants us to remember Him. Never forget the day when you became a child of God, because that will be a genuine reminder of how we need to be forever grateful to God, to be forever thankful to Him that who we are right now, it is based entirely upon the grace and the mercies of God through Jesus Christ. Your family, your loved ones, your ability to think, everything about us, it's by the grace and the mercies of God. His will has been shaping you, molding you. And if you are an obedient child of God, doing His will, remember the Lord with a heart filled with thanksgiving and joy. You have much to thank God for from your heart, truly. That's the second reason. And the third reason found in verse 6 and verse 9, other than firstly His protection, secondly His holy will, and thirdly the believer's experiences. That's true, isn't it? Our experiences. David had a lot of experiences of God's protection and God's provision. Remember when he went out to fight Goliath? He was just a young lad, a young boy, a youth. And then, because he had to represent all of Israel, and if he had lost, Israel will be thrown into disarray and slavery. And that's why he had to get the king's permission. And so when he met King Saul looked at him and said to him, "You are a youth. You are just a boy." Whereas Goliath had been a warrior since he was a boy. And now he is an experienced man, experienced soldier, and he is more than 9 feet tall. How are you going to fight him? And then David shared with him his own past experiences. The Lord had protected me when I was looking after my father's sheep, even when I was younger than who I am right now. The Lord gave me the strength to kill a bear, to kill a lion, to protect the sheep. The experiences of the child of God. Now know I. Do you know? Do you know the Lord whereby you truly, genuinely, sincerely have personal experiences of the Lord's protection and the Lord's will in your life? That the Lord saveth His anointed, that is you. Now, of course, the anointed is Jesus Christ, whereby Jesus Christ is the anointed Savior for the world. That's why He's called Jesus Christ. The word Christ means anointed. Anointed Jesus means Christ Jesus. Anointed Savior, Christ Jesus. Savior means, or Jesus means Savior. But if you and I are called by God for a particular service, then you are also anointed by God. Of course, in our case, it is not anointed to be the Savior of the world. Our is anointed to serve God in our own calling. That's why the Lord will save His anointed. As long as you are a child of God, you are doing the will of God, the Lord will save you. Now remember, saving us does not mean you are like Superman. Saving us simply means God will keep us in the faith. Please don't think that just as Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and the lion's mouth was shut, that does not mean that all believers thrown into the lion's den, all the mouth of lions were shut. Many believers were eaten up by lions, especially in the time of the Romans. They used them as sports. They used them for their gladiatorial sports. And they died for the faith. So please understand, the Lord saveth His anointed means more than just physical. Sometimes just physical deliverance, like in the case of David against Goliath, because God's plan for David is not finished yet. He has more plans for him. In the case of Daniel, likewise. In the case of Daniel's three friends thrown into a fiery furnace and they were not burned up, also God has plans for them. But the saving power of God is our faith. The faith that God gives us, whereby we will hold on to our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, come what may. That's why the believer's experiences will also cause us to remember the name of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. God will keep you. That's why the Bible promises us that once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not even death, not even Satan, nothing can cause you to lose your salvation the moment you are truly born again. And that is why for the believer, he can continue to say, some trust in chariots, the most powerful mechanized weapon in those days. The mechanized weapon of war in those days were chariots. And some in horses, the fastest. But we, David says, we himself and all believers will remember the name of the Lord our God. So there is another addition from verse 1, the name of the God of Jacob, from the time when Jacob was an unbeliever. In verse 5, the name of our God, that is personal. And then verse 7, remember the name of the Lord our God. The Lord is the covenantal name. Remember the salvation, grace and mercy. This is even more specific. And the word remember means never forget. It is continuous. Remember him, not just only on the day of anniversary, but remember him all the days of your life because of the experiences that you have already had. And God says, as long as you remember Christ, you will continue to have more experiences of the presence and the provision of God in your life. And they are brought down and fallen. Those who trust in chariots, trust in horses. And you and I have experienced that, isn't it? When you and I were unbelievers, we lean on the arm of the flesh. We lean on our IQ. We lean on the gift of the gab. We lean on our training. We lean on so many things that belong to the arm of the flesh. And each and every time, it's only a matter of time, they fell and they collapse. And then we became so helpless and useless. Because they're beyond our control. There are many forces that are beyond our control. You can work hard in your company and your company can go bust because the economy of the world just went south. And you all have experienced that. We all have seen that. But those who trust in the Lord, the Bible says, we are risen. We stand upright. Because for us, God is my Heavenly Father. God will give to me what will be best for me, that will be able to help me hold on to my faith. God knows. That's why we don't care about money. We do not measure ourselves by our home address or by what car you drive, what kind of clothing you wear. We measure ourselves based upon our grace and mercies that we have received from God. That I am a child of God. That is our confidence. I am a child of God. And that to us is all that we need. That's why David says, we will rise. Because if our relationship with God is never going to be broken at all. They can take away everything that is external. If you are somebody because of your house, if you are somebody because of your car, if you are somebody because of the clothes that you wear, you're in serious trouble. You're a nobody, isn't it? You're a nobody. Because there will be bigger houses, and the moment you lose your house, what? You lose your identity? You lose your car? You lose yourself? You lose your expensive garments? Then you become what? Naked and you become nobody. Remember, naked you came into this world and naked you're going to leave this world. If you measure yourself by the degrees that you have, by the titles that man gives you, then you are in serious trouble. But for the child of God, you are a child of God. Remember the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that relationship, no man in all eternity, not even Satan and all the fallen angels, can ever diminish or take that away from you. And that's why David could say, we are risen. Not we will rise, we are risen, we will continue to rise. He rose in the past and he will continue to rise and then he will stand upright. These are the experiences of the believer. And God says, I want you to have these experiences as we remember the name of the Lord. And then verse 9 is so precious. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. That means David says, I continue to remember the Lord and cry to him to save me. Remember how you call him now? Lord and then king. I'm a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. We are not PR here. We are not citizens here. We are all temporary residents. Save, Lord. Continue to save. Don't ever stop saving. You will always be my King. And hear us when we call you. Remember the Lord. Never forget him. Why? Because he will never forget you. You are his son. You are his daughter. You think God, our Heavenly Father, is a derelict parent? He will never be. And as long as he is our Lord and our God, and he will always be, you can rest assured, whenever you cry to him, he will always be there for you. Remember the name of the Lord, our God. Is he your Lord? Is he your God? Because if he is not, and he is not your God and not your Lord, ask yourself this question. Why do you want to go through this life? Why do you want to live in this dangerous, wicked world all on your own, when all you need to do is to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from all your sins? And then the Lord God Almighty will be by your side all the days of your life to look after you, to protect you, to save you, and to help you. Humble yourself before God. And the Lord says, I will be there for you, to save you, to help you, to guide you. As God's children, as we celebrate 33 blessed years, remember the name of the Lord. And that name is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to all our hearts, O Lord, this morning, as we come before thy holy presence, remembering 33 blessed years of this church, a church that thou hast raised and started and founded when many of us were not even born yet, when many of us did not even know you. And yet, O Lord, you have always been our God. Help us therefore, O Lord, that this morning, that as thy people come before thy holy presence, fill us with gratitude, fill us with praises and thanksgiving from the depths of our heart, to remember the great work of salvation that thou hast wrought in our hearts, as well as the great work that you continue to do in all our lives. May we never forget thee, but to always remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to save us and help us as we call on thee. We pray also for some in our midst who may not have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior. Help him, O Lord, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ this day, that this person experience the joy of salvation and the forgiveness of sin. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.